the New King James Version. The first reading, Acts 6, verses 8 to 15. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Acts 7, verses 51 to 60. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." When they heard these things, they were caught to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen.
Our sermon is on Stephen, a man of faith and power. And our preacher for today is Noruwa Edokpolo. I think we've had him here before, and it's my pleasure to invite him to speak to us. Thank you.
Father, we want to bless your name this morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you are the reason why we live. Thank you, Lord, that you have spared our lives. Living in this country gets more dangerous by the day. but you have released grace abundant. Thank you. Thank you for this time of sharing. I confess that unless you help us, O God, we will live here with nothing. But if you were to help us, then our lives could be changed. So Lord, please help us. Help me, the preacher. Help every one of us hear us, that in hearing we may hear you. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Please, let's take our seats. A man of faith. That's 1 to 5, which our sister had read for us. So I want to share my thoughts as I also, you know, meditated on those scriptures. And the first thing that I noticed was that, you know the story. So here we are. This is that church. And then suddenly there was a quarrel. You know, the Igbos said that they didn't give us food. They were only giving the Yorubas food, you know. Yoruba said, no, they gave us too much food. The Benin said, okay, they didn't pronounce our name well, you know. And so the elders came together and said, all right, guys, let's sort this out. Let's appoint people to handle that aspect of the service. You know, and let us, the elders, let's focus on the, in quotes, the more spiritual work of Bible study and prayer. Now, what struck me first was that the qualifications, what was required for those that will attend to the table, are you getting it? Was so high that anybody who is acclaimed in these times to have such credentials will be insulted if you ask them to go and clear the tables. You agree with me? Yes. They said it must be, let's look at it together. They said, give us verse 3, therefore, Acts chapter 6, says, therefore, brothers, pick from among you 7 men of a good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. The brother that prayed for the sister that had a headache, and the headache left her. You know, by that alone, he has become a man of God. Is that not so? And so therefore, you dare not tell him to, please, can you stand by the gates and tell people who are coming they should park on this side? He will feel what? Insulted. Don't you know who I am? So the first thing that I thought to myself was, hold on. These were the credentials, not for the pastors, not for the clergy, for the laity. They must be people of integrity, which is a very scarce commodity, even amongst brethren. You know, once upon a time, your word was good enough, yes or no? But now, even when we sign contracts as Christians, even when we sign contracts as Christians, that's not a guarantee that we will abide by what we are signed. He said it must be full of the Spirit. You know, some people think that it's only those of us who stand on this side that need to be full of the Spirit. You can do church on Sundays and be full of the world. It's okay. After all, I don't preach. Sorry, the Bible here tells us that those who will serve tables, those who will be ushers, those who would, you know, arrange the flowers, those things that we might call, you know, non-spiritual. The qualification from the scripture, it says what? They must be full of the Spirit. They must be people of wisdom. And evidently, from amongst those 7 people that were chosen, Stephen seems to have been leading the pack. You know what I mean? Stephen was ahead of the others. Because the father, let me see if I can find that place. Let's go down to verse 8 of Acts chapter 6. Verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing wonders and signs amongst the people." Full of grace and power, Stephen was doing wonders. In other words, brethren, it means that the miraculous was commonplace in the life of Stephen. You know, and yet, in all of that, Stephen was still humble enough to do the dishes. Okay? I spent about 2 weeks in Sierra Leone recently doing the training. Usually when I go on those kind of jobs, there's no need to announce that you are pastor so-and-so. It's not necessary. That's not the qualification that got you there. So, you know, I did the work, and there was a particular gentleman amongst the participants who's a Reverend Augustine, okay? So towards the end of the program, I just had a leading that, you know, I should speak with him. So I called him up and I said, "Reverend, you know, I'm in the ministry, I do this kind of work." And he was shocked. And he was like, "There's nothing about you to show that," in quotes, "you are a big pastor." I said, "It's not necessary. Me coming early to the class, me teaching and ensuring that you understand what I'm teaching you, me staying behind afterwards to say, 'Is it clear? Do you want to see me?' That is me being a pastor. In other words, my claim to being a pastor is not the titles that I carry, is that I'm diligent in that which the Lord has called me to do." Are you getting it? And so there was no need to announce to you at the beginning that I'm a pastor. It wasn't necessary. But you could see that, you know, they were saying to me, to train 11 people for 2 weeks every day, if you're a trainer, you know that is a hell of something. But yeah, but I did it, and I'll get there before them by 5 o'clock when they're all tired. Meanwhile, I've been doing all the talking. I'm still ready to say, "Let's go." So the Reverend looked at me and I said, "Yes, Reverend, that is how I glorify the one who has called me." And I said to him, "Go and do the same." Can we be humble in spite of the grace of God on our lives? Can we be humble and still come down low? And you know, our people are not very used to being respected. You know that? Nigerians or even Africans, you know, when they say you are the boss, they expect you to do what? To preside from the top. So he couldn't understand how, "You mean you are this big pastor and you are saying yes, ma, yes, sir, to us?" You know, some of them are, you know, in their 30s and 40s, young people. And guess what? In that relationship, they were my bosses. I hope you know that. Yes, because I was paid to serve them. If you take up the job of a waiter, and you should serve tables gladly. Don't go there and say, "Do you know who I am?" I don't care who you are. As far as I'm concerned, in this restaurant, I'm the guest. You are the waiter. If you've taken that job, then do it happily as unto the Lord. You know, I don't respect the anointing that cannot serve others to the glory of God. And there are many of us like that now. We become so anointed, we can't even carry our Bibles. I had a long conversation this past week with one of my staff in the church. And she said to me, "Sir, you give this other staff too much respect. And that person is beginning to think that, you know, he's the one in control." I said, "That person can think whatever he likes to think. When we are together, he knows where the buck ends." But that I was brought up to respect people. I will not degrade myself because somebody else doesn't know how to handle it. That's his problem. Because she was like saying to me, "You know, you are the boss. You are not behaving like the boss." I want you to remember people like Stephen. You know, I've always said to myself, if I was to paint a sculpture of Jesus, I won't paint a man with six pack. Because that's not the impression you get when you read the Bible. Am I right? You get the impression of somebody who is humble, who is gentle, yet powerful, who knows who he is, but is not throwing around who he is. So I looked at Stephen, and I asked myself, I wonder how many Stephens there are in this congregation. And I asked myself another question. What does it take to become a Stephen? How does a person become a Stephen? To become a Stephen, you must be a disciple indeed. Take note, a disciple indeed. Not a disciple when it is convenient. Not a disciple when it is, when it's the in thing. A disciple, fair weather. A disciple in the storms. A disciple when, whilst you are yet praying, the answer comes. A disciple when 5 years down the road, you are not sure if the answer will ever come. Are you getting it? To become a disciple, the starting point is you must be a believer. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Now, take note. You know, we throw these words around. You know, most of our Christian language has become, you know, just what we throw around. Who is a believer, by the way? A believer is somebody who reads the Bible and looks at his circumstances and decides to believe the Bible, not minding what the circumstances may be saying. All right? A believer is, you know, the other day somebody, you know, the people post all manner of things. Somebody posted that, please be careful when you go to the ATM machine. If you see any money on it, don't take it. Why? Because somebody put money on the ATM machine and it turned out that the money was supposed to turn somebody into for money ritual. And I asked, and this was on a Christian side, and then I asked, so why then did Jesus die? If a juju man's 200 naira can mock your salvation and render the blood of Jesus to apple juice, then why did he die? Oh my God. Unless you don't know who you are in Christ. Unless you don't know who you are. There was one day I was going for a walk in my neighborhood some years ago, early in the morning. And then I saw that they had put, you know, our people, they had put juju lying on the floor. And my first impulse was to say, God forbid. And then I smiled. And then I crossed over. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That scripture is true if I believe it. It says, no weapon that is fashioned against you will prosper. Yes or no? It says, you are hid in Christ and Christ himself in the Lord. Tell me the arrow. You know, we spend time now praying about arrows. Tell me the arrow that will pierce Jesus, pierce God, and then get to you. But because you don't know who you are, you're not a believer. You may have raised your hand in church. Wonderful. But that's not where it ends. That is but the beginning, a public affirmation of hopefully what has happened inside. So number one is to become a believer. Number two is to be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And so those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Then number three is to continue in his word. John chapter 8 and verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. That's why I said, to become a Stephen, you must be a disciple indeed. You must continue in his word. What that means is that the four or five scriptures that we are able to read on Sunday morning will not sustain you. Nobody eats, you know, when you garnish, is that not so? When you garnish, what are you doing? You are putting a little something on something substantial. Yes or no? This is the food, all right? So you garnish it with some bay leaves, about 3 or 4. Who will eat bay leaves as a meal? Who will eat garnishing as a meal? Sunday service is garnishing. So if you are depending on the 4 or 5 scriptures that we're going to read on Sunday, I'm sorry. Kwashoko is coming. Because the best we do, you know, you go to a restaurant, they put the main meal, then they put some leaves on the side, some lemon here and that. Those things are to garnish the meal. Yes or no? The real thing is what is in the plate. That's the real thing. And then, of course, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. You must receive power. All right? You must receive power. Oh, that's the wrong scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 8, I think it's supposed to be. You know, it says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, take note. These requirements are not for the clergy or the pastors. They are for those who will qualify to serve tables in the house of God. All right? And then finally, to be a Stephen, you must be ready to suffer for him. Acts 14 and verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through much tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. I've had to apologize once or twice back home in my church that I'm standing for pastors, particularly Pentecostal pastors, because we've sold a lie to the people. We've told them that when they come to Christ, all their problems will be solved. In fact, in the third world, we think that problems are all originating from hell. Not so, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, people will not be celebrated. People are celebrated for the quantum of problems they could solve. I hope you know that. So don't run away from problems. That's the sermon I'm preaching now. Don't run away from problems. Embrace them. If they are from the devil, in the place of prayer, you will demolish them. But if it is God that sent them so that you can build your ways, don't run away from it. Don't see every problem, you know, I prayed, I fasted, how come the car is not starting? Maybe God wants you to invent something so that you will not begin to have cars that don't need batteries anymore. You know that? Yes. Maybe that's why he's giving you that problem. He said, but I changed this battery last week. I changed this battery last year. This battery should have gone down by now. Maybe God is saying to you, guess what? Son, I'm going to give you the solution so that we will no longer need batteries in cars. And then you become great all over the world. But why do you think we don't have many inventions from this part of the world? Because we run away from problems. So Christianity is like a buffet, whether you like it or not. On that, and you know how it is. My son, if you give him bitter leaf soup, he will say, I don't like it. In the buffet of life, at some point, you will be served bitter leaf soup. It's part and parcel of what you signed up for. Do you notice that when Stephen was being stoned to death, he wasn't praying return to sender? Do you notice? What was he praying? Forgive them, Lord. You know, we have become hard-hearted in this part. They kill him, kill him. Everybody wants to kill his opponent, his enemy. No longer do we pray that God will have mercy upon them. I hope you know that Saul was like Al-Baghdadi. Hello. I hope you know that Saul was like the Boko Haram guy. If that Boko Haram guy walked into this church now, what would we do? So, brothers and sisters, I want to challenge us and to say to us, Lord, if there will be one Stephen in this congregation, let it be me. Let me be the one that will be filled with your power, with your wisdom, of good reputation, and yet be humble enough to sweep the floor. And yet be humble enough to recognize that sometimes when challenges come my way, and you know, God was God while they were lying against him? Yes or no? God was God while they passed the wrong judgment. God was God while he was being stoned. In fact, God was so much God that he stood up for him. I hope you know that's what happened in that place. You read it further. The Bible says, and Jesus did what? Jesus stood up to receive Stephen. He stood up to receive Stephen. And let me tell you something. It is not the victories on this side of the divide that matter the most. It's the one that heaven itself will take notice of. That's the one that matters the most. I'd like us to rise. I want us to pray. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's happening with you. But could it be that as you're standing, the Spirit of God is indicting you that you have denied him? You know, you were in a place and they were having conversations and you were prompted to speak up to defend the faith. And you felt embarrassed. You said, Lord, not in a place like this, not in this boardroom. Not in a place like this, Lord. I will talk about you in church. You were embarrassed to be identified with him. The Lord wants you to repent because there's a scripture that says that if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So I don't know who you are that God is talking to. And I don't even want to know. It's between you and him. I just want you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. If that situation presents itself another time, I will stand up to be counted. I would rather be ridiculed for the Lord. I don't know if you are here and you've always thought that because you are not a preacher, you know, therefore, you can live as you like. Now that you know the criteria, even for those who will just merely serve the table, do you want to say to him, Lord, have mercy upon me. And from today, make me a Stephen, a man of faith and power. And let's embrace the full gospel. There's a place for deliverance. There's a place for signs and wonders. Don't partition the gospel. Maybe you've been partitioning it. Say, no, I'm not interested. It's for those who have... No. There's a place for signs and wonders. There's a place for the miraculous. Let's embrace the gospel. Say to the Lord, Father, I'm open from today. I'm open, Lord. Use me. Use me to heal the sick. Use me to cast out demons. Whatever it is you want to do with me, use me. Make me a Stephen, O God. Father, I want to thank you. It is a privilege once again to gather together and to share your word. I pray, Lord, for each and every one of these your children. If there be anyone here, my Father, who's been having internal debates as to how far to go with you, Lord, I pray that by reason of this message, you would have spoken to that person. Is there anyone here, Lord, who has been ashamed of the gospel? I pray that by reason of this message, O God, you will forgive such a one and you will give that person a new lease of life. Thank you, O God, for sparing our lives. Thank you for bringing us here today. I pray, Lord, that on that last day when the roll will be called, as many of us as have believed and are willing to abide, our names will be on that roll. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated.